Joshua chapter 14. All right, and I'm going to preach a message to you today called Conquering a Mountain of Giants to Reach Our Inheritance. And it goes along with what we've been saying here this morning. And it's kind of coming out of the wilderness, so to speak, of trials and tribulations and the challenges of this life into more trials and tribulations and more challenges. You know, there's a wilderness time in our lives that happen, and we kind of seem like we're wandering around for a while and trying to kind of get our bearings straight. And God brings us through that in order to bring us to more challenges. And I want to help you here this morning with this. I really do. I believe it will. If you listen and pay attention, you'll learn some things. Let's pray first, and then we'll get right into it. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now and help us, dear God. Please speak to our hearts, Lord. We need this message today. We need to hear from heaven. Lord, I pray that you please would just use this in our lives and help us, Lord, as we look to conquer the giants and the mountain of giants in our lives, Lord. Help us to do so by your grace, by your power. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Notice those words. Those are very important. The words as we look at Caleb and we look at his spirit and we look at how God used this man and why God used this man, okay? You'll understand as we go here. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Notice that. He said, wholly followed, completely, 100% followed the Lord his God. Nevertheless, my brethren, he says, verse number 10, he says, Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, These 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So he's 85 years old. And look at what he says here. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. He says, 45 years has transpired since I trod that mountain over there. Since I walked along that mountain, 45 years has taken place. But look what he says. It's similar to what happened with Moses. Moses, when he died, it says his natural forces were not abated, neither was his eye dim. What does that mean? It means that Moses had complete cognitive ability at his old age of 120 years old. Moses was completely cognitive. He was strong. Moses' facial features and everything were not that of an old man. They were that of a young man still. He said he was fine. He said, the only reason why Moses died is because death comes upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why Moses died. Moses didn't die because his body gave out or his spirit was ready to get, no. It says God buried Moses. We'll get to that later on this afternoon. I'm going to teach you some things about the death of Moses. But I think it'll be interesting. But anyway, we'll save that for later. But it's similar to that God preserved Caleb because he made a promise to Caleb. Now I want you to pay attention because all this matters for you and I. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto me, when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Look at this. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Think about that. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Right? That's 85-year-old man. He says, now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. Who are the Anakims? They're giants. Giants. Anywhere from 10 to 13 feet tall. That's what they were. If you've never studied the giants, I got a lot of sermons on it. Go listen. It'll be interesting too. You'll understand. You'll learn some things. But they were 10 to 13 feet tall. And the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim was there. He's like, look, you heard, you know those giants are there. And God promised me that everywhere the sole of my foot tread, that was going to be mine. So I need to go fight those giants. I need to kick them out of that mountain. That's right, out. I need to kick them out of that mountain, right? Kick them out of the mountain. I need to do that. I want you to pay attention. This is going to apply to you. And that the cities were great and fenced. He said, these cities were huge. They're great and they're fenced. They're big cities, right? If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. There's some things here I want you to notice. You know, my title, when you look at the title, it sounds like a story your grandfather would tell you about a time long ago or something that would be like a fable, right? And it should be a story your grandfather should tell you or should have told you, right? Because it's one that is true. It's one of the grandest stories ever, and it beats any fable or any stories like Paul Bunyan or anything like that, because this is real. This is the Word of God. This is what actually happened. And those skeletons have been found all over the world, still today. I believe every story about giants out there in this world has come from some kind of truth, has some kind of truth to it in the sense of that there were giants in the Bible, and the Bible says they roamed this earth, and they hated the people of God. Right? That word giants is not the same word as like a man. It's not a human word. It's not that of a man. A little bit different. But anyway, that's not the point. And they roamed this earth and they hated the people of God. However, this morning, I want to give you another great truth to this story. Caleb in that mountain of giants. I think it applies to you and I. The Bible says that these things were written for our admonition. Right? Caleb fought a mountain of giants. You and I have no mountain of physical giants, but we still have a mountain of giants to fight. We have a lot of giants to fight. We have mountains to climb, and we have giants to kick out. We really are no different than Caleb. You and I want our inheritance. We think about our eternal inheritance, right? One day, we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, that fadeth not away, right? That Peter said, reserved in heaven for you. But think about this now. You and I have this, but guess what? We got a mountain to face before we get there. There is a mountain to face before we get to our eternal inheritance. Look, there's a war that we must fight. And the war is more practical than you ever imagine. It's not some mystical fighting. It's not that. It's a real war. It's a war of spiritual implications. It's a war for you and I to face every day. So number one, we have a mountain of giants to conquer before we get to heaven. I want you to understand that. You and I have to understand we will not enter the kingdom of heaven without much tribulation. Acts chapter 14, verse number 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. What does that tell us? That means, hey, listen. You're going to have some trials in this life before you enter the kingdom of God. Before you enter the promised land, before you enter heaven, that is, and before you are away from the struggles of this life, you will go through many trials and tribulations in your life. Some people, you know, there are some preachers out there that will give you the idea that once you get saved, it's puppy dogs and rainbows all the way. Everybody's going to love you. Man. Everybody's going to love you. They're going to love everything about you. They're going to love your stand for God. They're going to love Jesus. They're going to be nice to you. Everybody's going to love you, right? That's what you thought when you got saved, maybe? No, that didn't last very long, did it? No, because when you love Jesus and you follow the Lord, it's contrary to this world. It's contrary to it. So the promise that God gives us is, in the world you'll have tribulation, but in me you'll have peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. But you're going to have some problems here. You're going to have some trials here. You're going to have some giants to face. You have to understand that Jesus paid it all for you to be saved, and no man can be saved by his works. That Jesus died and was buried and rose again, according to the gospel, the Bible says. And with his precious blood, he bids us to come to him and be saved by his grace. And it is all of the grace of Jesus Christ. but we must repent and believe the gospel. And after we are saved, according to his mercy, like happened to me 16 years ago when the Lord saved me, you are in for the fight of your life. I know you thought it was time to go to sleep in the Delectable Mountains, but it's not. No, it's not. There's a war that goes on. When you get saved and you want to, you have to understand something. Listen to me. This book is contrary to this world. Do you understand that? This book is contrary to this world. This world does not like this book. It never will. It never has. Right? Jesus said, "Marvel not, the world hated me. It'll hate you." I don't like that. Of course we don't. It's not fun, but it's true. And if your Christianity doesn't offend the world, maybe you're not living for Christ. Right? Because if we live for Christ, it's going to offend some people. Amen. It just will. I have to tell you the truth. It's not always pleasant, but that's the truth, that our lives, when we live for God, are in direct conflict with the world. And it's supposed to be. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Amen. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. That's that inheritance. Never forget that you and I have entered into that salvation. We join an army. I want to read you some words to a song. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Listen. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They view the triumph from afar and seize it with their eye. When that illustrious day shall arise, and all thy armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. But the battle is not over. Amen. The battle's not over. We have a mountain of giants ourselves to overcome. I cannot pretend to know the giants that you face in your life, all of them. But I can relate to some of them. Being a man of like passions, you have the giant of your pride. You know, I used to think, a lot of times in our lives, we used to think, we used to think that our biggest foes were out there. But I'm sorry, the biggest foe you have to your spiritual walk is in the mirror. It isn't Satan, though he's a mighty foe, right? It isn't the world, though it can be alluring, but it's me. It's myself, right? The flesh. It's my worst enemy. That's why I have to walk in the Spirit. Amen? But that's a giant. Pride is a giant. There are people that will not obey God because they will not humble themselves. They are too proud. And we all can be like that in some ways. Different things in our lives. Amen. You have the giant of your pride. It's a difficult hill to face. It's a difficult mountain of a challenge. We have the giant of selfishness. When the Bible tells us to be self-sacrificing, he must increase, but I must decrease. Right? Selfishness. Putting ourselves before others and putting ourselves before God. It's idolatry. Right? It's a battle. We face it. We face it every day. Amen. If we're honest. We have the giants of inward fears. We get fearful. Fearful to obey the Lord because of the consequences that might come from that. Amen. Fearful to speak the Lord's name because of what somebody might think. Fearful to stand with the Lord. Right? Because we want a flowery bed of ease. Right? We do. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want anybody to be upset with us. We don't want that challenge. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to do those things. It's true. Amen. Come on. Mm-hmm. That's a big one, isn't it? Those inward fears. Who can forget about the giant of despair and Doubting Castle? Oh, my. Have I ever walked into Doubting Castle? Have I ever put the chains on, sat down, and let the giant of despair beat me for a while? You ever done that? You ever done that? Man, I have. Let him chain me himself. Just here. Put the chains on me. Put the shackles on. Right? And he could sense, and that fear, you could, the devil could sense that unbelief that we have. Right? Yeah. We've all done that. In the heart of a believer, there is much unbelief. Right? It's a giant. It's a giant of despair, depression, discouragement. Right? Easy to get down. Easy to get discouraged. Right? Too easy. That giant of a task of self-denial. Jesus said to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and to follow him. Count the cost. It's hard to do that. Right? Even if it changes my life, even if it changes my plans, even if it changes my direction, whatever it is that the Lord has for, man, I'll tell you what, I know about changing direction. I know about that. Right? Fixed my whole house up, paid the contract, got ready to get the contractors paid, closed my house, sell it, put it out. The Lord said, nope, you ain't selling it. I'm fighting it for like a month. It's a change of direction right there. Right? Man, I had a purchase agreement on it. I'm telling you, the last day, I had no idea. I pray, Lord. If you don't, I mean, I was going through some chastening of the Lord, trying to figure everything out. This is just two months ago, month and a half ago, right? Month and a half ago, maybe month ago. Been that long? A month ago, right? I'm standing here by myself, pacing this room here, praying on a Monday morning. Lord, if you don't want me, I prayed one thing, and boy, that answer came quick. Lord, if you don't want me to sell it, I won't sell it. I don't know what you want from me, God. I'm not sure. I got an email an hour later. Your purchase agreement has been canceled. Well, now that was specific. Right? And then it was like, well, I think I better change direction now. I'm going to go back the other way. Boy, that's going to look funny to everybody, but I really don't care. Man, I'm telling you what. I wanted to be right with God. I did not care what anybody thought because God was putting me through the grinder. And I was like, you know what? It don't matter what I want. It don't matter what it don't matter. I got to do what God wants me to do, and I am going back to my house. Right? Because no offense, the short trip to my mom's basement did not work out for me. It just did not work for me. I didn't sleep a wink for 2 months, man. Oh, you know, it's funny now, but it sure wasn't that. But God changed my direction. That was a giant of a thing, a self-denial. No, you take up your cross, you follow me. No, I've got to direct, you go my way. Okay, Lord. I've been there, though. God's plans have to be, my plans have to be God's plans. He alone is to guide my steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Amen? So many giants, outward giants, the world and the devil, right? How they both hate the cause of Christ, and they want to tower over us and to make us feel as if there's something wrong with the people of God because they follow Christ. You ever felt that way? People are on you, man, something wrong with you. Right? The world, oh yeah, you're too serious. Well, that's because this world is full of jokes. Nobody can be sober anymore. You know, I got flicked off by three people preaching the gospel yesterday. I think maybe four, but Giannis, that one was yours, so it's not my fault. But that guy got you, Giannis, not me. That lady. But, you know, and I was like, you know, I said to one of them, I said, sir, you're 60 years old. You're too old to be acting like that. I said that to him. You're too old to be acting like that, sir. You're 60 years old. You're going to die. You better take your life serious. Because you know what? Our generation, this world, is being trained not to think soberly or seriously. And people don't anymore. I mean, look at politics. It's a circus. Look at everything. It's all a circus. It literally is like the WWE. When I was a kid, WWF, we called it. It's literally like that now. Politics are like, well, our president's a wrestler. Was a wrestler, so I mean, what do you expect? But I mean, that's the way it is. It's all a circus now. Nobody can be, everything has to be entertaining. Everything has to have jivey music. You can't go anywhere, make a sober decision. Nobody can do anything anymore like that. But the people of God, when they're sober and they're serious, that's a giant of a task to deal with. There's the giant of public opinion. What will my parents think? What will the world think? What will my friends think? They'll think you're strange. And so they should think you're strange. Now, I happen to believe that they're a little strange when I look at some of the things that I see when I walk down the street. I mean, there's a lot of weird things when I was a kid, but nobody had earlobes that big. When I was a kid, nobody. Today, you all have earlobes that are like this big. Stuff like that. Bones in their noses. All kinds of stuff. Tattooed everywhere, completely all over the place. But we're weird because we believe God's word. And check this out. The world believes a fairy tale that man came from a monkey. That's a fairy tale. But you say, I believe in some big guy in the sky, and you make fun of it. But you believe that nothing evolved into something. Now that's a miracle. But I'm supposed to, because you believe in monkey men, I'm the one that's weird. You believe in Planet of the Apes, and I'm supposed to be weird because I believe God created the heaven and the earth. There's something wrong with me because I have a book that details it all completely how he did it. You see what I mean? And then, God forbid that I should boldly state that, because that boldness now, oh, you're terrible because you're so bold. Really? How about the fact that they're leading millions upon millions of people to hell and nobody wants to stand up anymore and say the truth in public opinion? Why? Because it's sobering and it makes people think, oh, that's too harsh. No, what's harsh is there are millions of people dumping into hell every day. That's harsh. Somebody's got to wake them. What did Jesus say? Lazarus, our friend, sleepeth. I go to wake him out of his sleep. Well, God sent a generation of men to say, stand up and say, you know what? I go to wake them out of their sleep. Somebody's got to warn them. What do you think George Whitefield did? Whisper sweet nothings in their ears when he came? Jonathan Edwards. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. They trembled and they clutched their seats like this, white-knuckled and trembled. They literally thought that they were going to fall into hell any moment. Get it? What do you think Jesus did when he spoke more on hell than he did on heaven? Who wants to talk about hell anymore? Those are giants. That giant of public opinion. You know, a preacher can never live his life in the court of public opinion. If he lives his life in the court of public opinion, he'll never do anything for God. He'll always be worried about what somebody says about him or thinks about him. You know where he's got to live? In the court of heaven. He's got to let God judge him. And God will. Believe me, I've been whooped by the Lord more than you can imagine. I'm much more afraid of him than I have any of your looks or anything anybody else could say to me. And I know when God corrects me, believe me. Boy, don't I. All right, having said that, that was the opening. Here it comes. How about that mountain? How about a man? Let's follow that Caleb spirit. Caleb. Now, when I think about a man that was 85 years old that looks at Joshua and says, hey, Joshua, you know what Moses said to me and you in Kadesh Barnea? You know that mountain full of giants over there? I am going to whoop them. I'm gonna kick them out of that mountain, all of them. And I'm going to take that mountain. Man, I just want to be with him. I wish I was there. I just want to be there with him right now. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I was there with him right there. Be like, let's go, man. I'm with that guy. I'm with that guy. I want to be with somebody that wants to fight. That's what I want to be with. I want to be somebody that wants to take that book and go war for the Lord outside of the camp. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? Right? When? This is our, you know, we have a short time to war for the Lord in this life. And our war is in the spirit, not in the flesh. Our war is to take this book. There, I like how people say, you're throwing stones. No, I don't have any stones in my hand. I just have the Bible. And it's piercing, even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit. And it cuts, and that's why you're mad. Just like when we go to those homosexual rallies outside of there and preach the gospel to them. You know what their biggest problem? Oh, you're throwing stones. No, I'm not throwing anything. I'm preaching the word of God to you. And if I was reading Grimm's fairy tales, you wouldn't be mad right now. You're mad because I'm reading the Bible, because you know it's true. And that's really what's the matter. That's really the truth. Because if I was reading anything, if I was reading Shakespeare, you wouldn't care. The fact that I'm reading the word of God that's warning you to flee from the wrath to come is what your problem is. Amen. Because this word, it gets to you. So how do we get victory? I want to know how Caleb turned mountains into molehills. That's what I want to know. How did Caleb go up that mountain and he turned that into a molehill and kicked those giants out? Because you know what Caleb's life was like. Caleb was like, here's what he was like. He's like, they're grasshoppers. Remember what the Israelites said, though? They said, we're grasshoppers. It's like, Caleb, nuh-uh. They're grasshoppers. That's the kind of spirit that God's people need. That's the kind of one. Not the one that shrieks off into the corners afraid to stand. All right, let's get into it. Number one, Caleb had faith. That's how. He had faith before he spied out the land. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, he said, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Do you realize what was happening at the same time? At the same time, in the same place, the Israelites' heart was melting. But guess what was going on in Canaan? Canaan, their hearts were melting because they heard that God split the sea and they walked on dry land and they were afraid. Because Rahab the harlot gave testimony of it. She said, man, 40 years ago, everybody was afraid. Because they heard you split the God split the Red Sea and you walked on dry land. And they knew the God of the Bible was coming for them. They knew what was happening. And they were afraid. Now, these people made the heart of their brethren afraid. You know, if you show a lack of encouragement, you're discouraging people. You really are. Amen. He said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. They didn't make Caleb's heart melt. Caleb was like, well, you watch what Caleb said. Caleb said, Moses sent me. I knew we were going to take that mountain. He said, I knew the giants were grasshoppers to me. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Before Caleb went, he believed God was going to give it to him. He already believed it. God said, hey, I'm going to give you the land of milk and honey. Caleb's like, okay, let's go get it. Moses said, Caleb, Joshua, you guys go. Okay, let's go. Caleb was going. You know what Caleb was doing, don't you? Caleb was seeing where he was going to build his house. Caleb wasn't like, how am I going to beat these giants? How's this going to happen? No, Caleb's like, okay, I think right here is where my house could go. And I can picture this over here. And I can picture this right here. And I'll make a road right here. I love this mountain right here. It's going to be great scenery in the morning when I wake up. That was Caleb. It was faith. It was faith. Faith. Believing God. No, I can't see how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I believe God's going to do it. He believed God, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. He said, let's take it now, man. We're right there. Man, we're already here. Might as well take it. Caleb's like, let's go take some giants, man. Let's go now. I'm ready to go. He's going to kick those giants out. Listen to me. That's how you have to attack this Christian life. The same way. The Bible says the violent take it by force. What does that mean? It means they're aggressive to run towards it. They're aggressive. They're not passive. You know what's wrong with America today? Too many passive Christians. The Christians all ran back in the closets while the homosexuals came out of the closets. That's what happened. And then when you go engage them and preach the gospel, then, oh man, there's something wrong with you. You ought to leave those people to die and go to hell. That's what they tell us. Oh, they're reprobates. They're all just going to die and go to hell. We're not going to get. No, you know what you need to do? You need to go right there and you need to engage them and tell them, you're going to die and go to hell. You better get saved. You better turn. You need to tell them the truth. Somebody needs to tell them. They need it. But the men that went up with him said, let me back up here. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Caleb's like, no, calm down. See, they all wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. You believe that? Ingrates. Weren't they? Ungrateful. Right? What were they going to do? They were going to stone Moses and Aaron and go back to Egypt. Man, let's go be slaves again. You know what? Sometimes you and I think like that. It'd be easier not to fight. Wouldn't it? You know, there's some battles you have with between husband and wife. I wasn't pointing at you for any reason. I was just like pointing. Sorry. That looked really bad. I was like, there's some battles there. No, I didn't mean it that way. I was just like talking with my hands. Sorry. But I do that sometimes. It's really bad. But yeah, amen. But no, there's some struggles that you have between husband and wife. Right? And you know what? It takes faith to fight those battles. It takes faith to deal with those battles. It takes faith to fight those battles. You know why? Because it's easier just to slip them under the rug and not deal with them. And not fight them. Why? Because it's hard for you by faith to say, you know what? The Lord said, this is the directions the Lord gave me. We need to talk them out. We need to work on it. It's easier in your mind not to, but those things fester and those giants grow. They don't shrink. They don't shrink. Got to deal with them. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look what he said. He said, we are well able to overcome it. Is that how you believe? By faith? Whatever the challenges is in your life, whatever the giants are in your life, whatever mountain you're facing in your life. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we are in our own sight. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Yeah, in your own sight. Do you see that? That's how you and I sometimes tackle problems. We see the problem. We don't see by faith the solution. Fear, that's right. And it overcomes us, and we're like grasshoppers. No, you're not. And so when God came to Gideon, he said to him, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, I ain't never done nothing. What are you talking about? Right? You have the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord is he that will fight your battles. The strength comes from the Lord. I'm going to show you some things here about that. We got to keep moving here. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched out. They said, we're like grasshoppers. But Caleb saw the opposite. With the eyes of faith, he said, no. They're grasshoppers. Let's go stomp them. Amen. Caleb saw the opposite. Caleb was like those, Caleb's like those little tiny fellas up there. They're like grasshoppers, those little things. Oh, sons of Anak, I don't care. Let's go take them. We are well able to overcome them. Overcomers, conquerors. How do you see that in your life? Afflictions, trials, right? Failures, faults, whatever they may be, sins. By God's grace, do you see we are well able to overcome them? For we are more than conquerors in Christ. You can't sweep them under the rug. You got to deal with them. You got to fight them. Caleb's like, let's go. Caleb's like, I already picked out the spot. I know where I'm building my house. I'm ready to go. By faith, let's go. Let's do it. God told us it's ours. God said it was ours. He said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And there's a lot of milk and honey up there. Let's go. Grapes as big as my head. Let's go. And yeah, I got a big head. I know. That's right. Big grapes. Right? Even Lee would have like 50 pounds of those, at least. It's five grapes. Caleb's like, I'm hungry. I want some of those grapes. Let's go get them. He says, let's go giant hunting. Give me the biggest one. I'll take the mountain. Give me that one. By faith. He believed in God's promises. He trusted the Lord and his promises. That the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. And you got to keep fighting the good fight of faith. You got to keep fighting. You can't have lazy faith. It has to step out and step up and see the mountain in your life and overcome it by faith, supported by his word. It's a war. It takes faith to fight it. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. Seek him. You know, it's a scary thing to think about when we're afraid to obey the Lord's commands. It's because our faith is small. Right? It's because our faith is small. The only way it grows is to be exercised. The only way your faith is exercised is through trials. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Man, I'll tell you what, I've prayed for things for a while. Lord, when are you going to take this away? This is driving me nuts. Number two, that faith in God. Caleb, then he had faith, and that faith he had in God's promises, it gave him courage. Caleb had courage. Courage is what we all need to defeat the mountain of giants in our lives. We need courage. Look at the word discourage. Check this out. It means to extinguish the courage of. That's what discourage means. So literally, the fire of courage, right? The fire of courage inside of you is extinguished. Like a fire extinguisher puts out a fire. That's what discouragement does to us. It puts out our fire. Right? We have a fire and a zeal for God, and it extinguishes it. Courage is like a fiery confidence. That's what it is. And Caleb and Joshua had it. You know, they never lost their courage. Can you imagine going through the wilderness for 40 years and waiting and waiting, and you did nothing wrong, but you're bearing the reproach of the disobedience of your brethren for 40 years. You know, we never think about that. We never think about Joshua and Caleb. They were 40 years. Now, Joshua was pretty busy. But Caleb, right? Caleb, 40 years. You know, and Caleb never got bitter either. He never got bitter. He said, well, it's been 40 years. I don't know. I might try it. He never got discouraged. He never lost sight of God's promises. He knew where his inheritance was. Listen, friend, anytime you need encouragement, the main thing you need to think about is your eternal destiny. When you and I need the courage to fight for the Lord in this world, we need to think about heaven. We need to think about what Jesus did for us. And we need to think about how he paid it all. And we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Right? We need to remember that, that that's the end goal. Right? Think about that. Isn't it something that they never became bitter? They never had a grudge. They never lost their courage. The Lord gives courage. Let no man extinguish your courage. Deuteronomy 31:6. Over and over again, we hear this same thing given to. Now, you think about this, because God gave this, God gave this admonition to Joshua over and over again through Moses. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's God's promise. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. Again, he says, look, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Again, in Joshua chapter 1, in verse number 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, see, God encourages him again, because you got to understand, Joshua, see, he's at the tip of the promised land, and then Moses dies. That's a very tough thing to take. Moses is dead, and now Joshua, you're going to lead everybody. And Moses and Joshua's like, Moses, my servant, is dead. God came to him and spoke to him, said, Moses, my servant, is dead. I got to imagine Joshua was a little tense at that point, right? A little heartbroken. But he said, every place. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He's just reiterating what Moses told him before, right? God is coming to him and speaking to him and telling him that. He said, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only, he says it again, only be thou strong and very courageous. It takes courage. It takes courage to stand up for your convictions. It takes a lot of courage. Because we see a world today that is going against every written law and making up their own laws. Right? There's no respect for any order today. We're losing that. Right? We're losing that. And our families, our children need to see that order from God. They need to see that. Amen? Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, pay attention to every word, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, if you're keeping score, Joshua destroyed 31 kings. 31 kings he put down. And Caleb took a mountain full of giants like they were grasshoppers in his sight. Now, then, let me ask you, how were they able to do it? How can I know that my courage is warranted? How can I know that? Here's how you can be strong and of good courage and be not dismayed. That if the Lord has commanded you to do something in his word, as he speaks through his word and the preaching of his word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we hear through the word of God. If God has written it and he has commanded it, we can be strong and of good courage to obey it. Do you understand that? That's the basis. As the Lord came to Joshua, he told him, be strong and of good courage. Have I not commanded thee? Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. If I give you the command, I will give you the courage to follow it. You can trust me and have faith to follow my commands, because I will be with thee. See that? That's the promise of God. God's written word. He said it to us. Have not I commanded thee? That is how we know that our faith and confidence and encouragement is in the right place. Right? If God has commanded us to do something, then we have every right to have confidence in the defeat of the mountain of giants that we face, because we have a sure victory ahead. Because he commanded us to fight them and to be strong, so we can. We can trust the Lord. Caleb knew that, and he had great courage. We need great courage in this world. Too many people are too afraid to stand up. We're becoming muffled in a world that does, that hates Christianity. Right? We need great courage. So many things want to extinguish the fire of our courage and make us afraid to speak the word of the Lord. So many things. To make you afraid to stand up for Christ. Make you afraid of the ramifications if someone finds out you live a separated life and you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and follow your Father in heaven. Right? We need courage. We have to fight in the Lord's army. I will tell you this, you can fight or be pummeled by Satan. We have to have courage. Right? You know, it's interesting. The Lord's taken me through so many trials and things in the last couple months. And something hit me very hard on Friday. And spiritually, that is. And I was thinking about it a lot. And it hit me, and I couldn't stop thinking about it the whole day. Because the devil will come and attack your mind and try to discourage you constantly with things. Try to agitate you and discourage you constantly. At sometimes there's relative peace and not as much, but sometimes in heavy, manifold temptations and trials. And I've been going through a lot of those the last couple months. And, you know, it's interesting because I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, when are you going to make the devil stop this? When are you going to give victory over this? Or when are you going to fight that battle for me, Lord? And I'll tell you, the Lord very clearly spoke to my heart and said, when are you going to start fighting mine again? I just kind of stopped for a second. I said, ouch. And that just told me that it's time to ramp things up again. And I'm done licking my wounds. And it's time to go to war. So it's interesting to me, though, because that's exactly what the Lord said. And over again, the Lord said to me, I'll fight for you when you fight for me. And not that I haven't been in the sense of that way, but I knew what the Lord was talking about, and I knew I needed to get busy and get some stuff done for him. It's time. Some more. And all day long, I couldn't shake it. Actually, for 2 or 3 days, it's been there, that the only thing I remember that the Lord continued to speak to me is fight the battles of the Lord. Fight the battles of the Lord. Don't be distracted by all this other nonsense. Just fight the battles of the Lord. And it rang my bell. It showed me exactly what the Lord wants me to do more and more to get going. But it takes courage to do that. We need courage. We have to fight in the Lord's army. We need courage. Number three, Caleb's courage gave him great strength. Truly, a lot of what we face is in our own heads. If you could defeat a man in his mind and destroy his courage, then you can destroy the strongest man or woman. If Satan can get into your head and accuse you of anything and you listen to the whispers from hell or the whispers of others? Like when Peter told the Lord, "Be it far from thee that you should die." And he tried to rebuke Jesus. Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God." You can destroy the strongest man by extinguishing his courage. However, Caleb, he had courage, and he trusted the Lord, and then he was strong. Caleb said, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I'm 85 years old. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Caleb said, "I'm strong. I'm just as strong as I was then." He was strong because he trusted the Lord. He believed the Lord, and he had courage. He was ready to fight. Sometimes you and I want God to make us stronger, and the Lord is waiting for us to fight. You only need strength to war for the Lord, to stand for what's right, right? To fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. You know, sometimes we care too much for this world as far as money goes. Sometimes we do. As far as money, as far as opportunity, upward mobility, nothing wrong with that. We ought to, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might," the Lord says. But let me ask you a question. Do you seek first the things of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? I'll save that for a little bit here. I'll pick that back up. I want you to think about that, that thought for a little while. You and I can be so busy fighting our own battles that we are not even fighting the Lord's. Right? And if I need strength, I have to fight. And the Lord will increase our strength. He'll increase our courage. Amen? The more that we obey, the more courage we have. Amen? Number four, or five, I think it's five. Caleb never lost his zeal for fighting after 45 years. He never lost his zeal. Think about that. It's very important. Caleb never lost his passion for the fight or the zeal. Caleb still pictured that mountain. It's the first thing he asked Moses as soon as his feet touched that promised land. "Okay, I want the mountain, Moses. Joshua. I want the mountain. I'm ready." How about that? How's your zeal for the Lord? He kept that fiery zeal while he waited 45 years. Listen to it in his own words. He said, "The Lord kept me alive these 45 years. I'm as strong as I was then. I am now as I was then." I'll get it right. He said, "You know, I believe he meant more than just his pulse and his life, but I believe he meant strength from the Lord. Spiritually, he said, I'm as strong now as I was the day that Moses sent me." If God has commanded you to do something, you are not allowed to do it right away sometimes. Don't get discouraged. Don't lose your zeal. But there's a wilderness time in your life that you must get through. God will keep the fire stoked for what he's called you to do. There may be things in your life that you're called to do that you don't see the fruition of it right away. But God will keep the fires going. Right? I've seen it many times over. I've seen men that thought they were called to do something and then they flame out. They lose their courage to fight. They lose all their zeal, they're gone. Because they never had what was real. Because if God called them, they would not get discouraged permanently and lose heart and walk away. They might get their fire dampened a little bit, but it still burns within their souls. Because God is able to make you stand. Caleb never lost his fight over 45 years. He kept his zeal. He kept his fire. Let me ask you, have you cooled off a bit as a Christian? How's your spiritual walk? Is it cooler? Are you lukewarm? The Lord doesn't like lukewarm. He says, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." That's what he said in Revelation. What does that mean? The Lord doesn't like lukewarm. He likes hot fire. Right? He says, either be cold or hot, but don't be lukewarm, because that's confusing. That brings confusion. It's hybrid. It's confusion. God wants you to be on fire for him. Have you been allowing the cold, dead world to creep in and discourage and dampen your zeal for God? I'll tell you what, it doesn't take long, friend. If you let the world into your life and into your heart, it'll creep in moment by moment, second by second. Satan creeps in. It's like the camel that gets his nose in the tent, right? Pretty soon his whole body's in there, right? If you let the world into your life and discover that secret of your consecration, worldliness will slip in very quickly. And it kills the zeal for the Lord. Because when you're in sin, when you're attracted by the world and you get into sin, what happens is you cannot stand before your enemies and you have no zeal to fight. You can't fight for the Lord. You can't stand up for God. You can't witness to people. You can't talk to people about the Lord. You can't. You know why you can't do that? Because you're cold. Because you let the world creep in and you got cold. Yeah, you got cold. Are you lukewarm? You could be maybe preparing yourself to be tried in the fires of affliction and trials of a Christian. Or better yet, if you draw nigh to Christ and obey him, he'll stoke the flames that he started in you. He'll stir the embers. And you'll burn with a slow and steady flame. You know, that's what you learn over the years. There's a lot of sparks I've seen. But sparks go away. But when the Lord lights a flame, when the Lord lights your candle, when the Lord puts a fire inside of you, it burns hot, and it continues to burn a steady flame. It doesn't flame out, right? It's just a steady flame. The zeal never cools, but it's tempered. And it's a steady flame. Amen. Keep your zeal and keep your fire for heavenly things. Don't let the world extinguish your zeal. You won't get victory like that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Is it in heaven? Where moth and rust cannot corrupt? And thieves cannot break through and steal. But if it's on earth, right? If I treasure this life more than I do my eternal life, that's really the question you have to ask yourself. Do I treasure this life more than I do the one to come? Because we're living eternal life now. The day you get saved, you start eternal life. But are you living for God? Or for the world? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Put your spiritual life before your wants and desires. That's the challenge of your Christian walk. The challenge of your Christian life is that he must increase and I must decrease. Another point I'd like to make, number six. This one's quicker. It is important that you don't ignore the difficult challenges in life, and you take the Mountain of Giants first. You know, the Mountain of Giants will breed like grasshoppers if we don't tackle it first. Procrastination in the Christian life does not go well. You need to tackle the hardest things and get victory over them right away. Don't let them fester. You tackle the hardest things right away. Amen. The giants right away. We have to face the hardest character flaws or spiritual flaws in us first. They are the mountains we must face, the glaring giants that are in front of us. If we do not do that, then we will only grow. They will only grow and become bigger. Faith takes hold of the promises of God and charges the mountain and watches it turn into a molehill before its eyes. This is what Caleb knew. He knew he would trample it, and he did just that. Number seven, Caleb wholly followed the Lord with all of his heart. This is the last point I want to make to you. It's probably one of the most important. His whole heart. He followed the Lord with his whole heart. Here is one important fact that cannot be overlooked. Caleb decided to follow the Lord with his whole heart. His heart was fixed. It was fixed. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Can you say that? Are you willing to obey the Lord with your whole heart? Are you willing to be obedient no matter what the cost? Look at Caleb. There were 10 other witnesses that were against his words, but he wholly followed the Lord his God. He said, those cities have giants in them, and they're great and fenced. But if so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. He said, I'll drive them out because the Lord will be with me. He knew his strength was in the Lord and fighting the battles of the Lord. He knew that he was ready to fight the battles of the Lord, and his heart was fully set on following the Lord. He received the inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord as God. He got the victory over a mountain of giants. You know that phrase, whole heart? That is 13 times in the King James Bible. 13 times in the King James Bible. That 13, that number stands for love, or it stands for rebellion. So you can love God with your whole heart, or you can rebel against God with your whole heart. See that? That number 13 stands for rebellion, or it stands for charity or love. So if I love the Lord with my whole heart, right? That's love. If I don't give God my whole heart, it's rebellion. See how that works? It's very simple. God's made it very simple. Very simple. Psalm 119:2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Are you afraid? Let me ask you, are you afraid to seek God with your whole heart? Afraid to let God into part of that heart of yours? Afraid that he'll chisel away things that you hold dear and that you want? Right? Verse number 10 of Psalm 119 says this, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. David said, Lord, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Please, Lord, don't let me wander away from thy commandments. Verse number 34, the same chapter. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Yay, that's right. That's a good point. Verse number 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. My whole heart. Jeremiah 24, verse number 7, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep, put a watch on, protect, preserve, watch, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All the decisions that you make and the essence of who you are is your heart. It is the seat. The Jews said that it was the seat of all emotions and affections is the heart. And it is. It truly is. My son, give me thine heart. Right? In the Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. That's what God wants. Because if God has your heart, then you know what? He'll have everything else. Right? He'll have everything else if he has your heart. You're giving your time. Giving of your time, giving of money, giving of anything. You won't think that's too great to give to God. Sacrificing unto the Lord, the spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord. You'll be able to destroy a mountain full of giants if you follow the Lord with your whole heart. Not a double-minded man. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It means his heart is split. he's got 1 foot, or she's got one, he or she's got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot following the Lord. You got 1 foot in the narrow way and you're trying to walk like this. Doesn't work. Because your heart is split. That's being a double-minded man. That's why you're unstable. Because you can't wholly follow the Lord your God like Caleb did with his whole heart. It needs to be decided. And you know what? What I have seen in people, that when this book becomes what you will follow, I never find them to be difficult disciples to deal with. It's been my experience in 16 years of being saved, over 16 years of being saved, and 11 years of pastoring people, that when people were determined to follow this book and this would decide their lives for them, their decisions were usually very sound. But when they weren't decided that the scriptures would settle everything in their life, they were the worst disciples I ever tried to work with. Because when you cannot give your whole heart to the Lord, and this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. When you can't do that, or you won't do that, I should say, when you won't do that, you're double-minded. Double-minded. We have to have one mind and one mouth to glorify God. Right? God requires truth in the inward parts. Let me ask you, do you wholly follow the Lord your God? Is your heart, is it surrendered to obey Him and please Him in all things? You'll never conquer the mountains in your life until you've surrendered to the Lord. You'll never be able to face until you give a full surrender. And by the way, that's not a one-time decision card that's made in a church. That is a lifelong decision every day of your life to surrender to God. I mean, it's nice when people come forward. Some churches do that. They come forward and they, you know, fill out a decision card to surrender to the Lord, and that's wonderful, but I'd rather see it in your life every day. Words are cheap, friend. I've heard them. I'm not being cynical either. I've heard a lot of words from people, but actions always speak louder than words. They just do. When your heart is truly fixed, you don't even have to tell me. I'm already going to know. I'm going to see it. Everybody will be able to see it. They can also see the opposite when there's not a lack of surrender there, because there's a lack of joy in the Holy Ghost and there's a lack of power of God there. And you get uncomfortable when somebody brings the truth to you. Mm-hmm. That mountain of giants will tower over you when you're not obedient to the Lord, when you've not laid aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you. It's hard to live the Christian life with 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church house. 1 foot in going my own way and 1 foot following the narrow way. Doesn't work. Right? It doesn't work. When you have not yielded your members as instruments of righteousness. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. That's Paul saying, I beg you. Right? He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Think about that. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, if Jesus Christ saved you, it is your reasonable service to yield your bodies as instruments of righteousness. Right? That you present your body as a living sacrifice. That means I'm alive in the Lord and I'm surrendered to His will. Because notice what it says here. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable that you should live your life for Jesus since He died for you. Amen. and be not conformed to this world. You know, that's the command of God for us. Caleb was not conformed to the world. Are you? Are you being conformed to the world? Are they trying to form you into their way of thinking? Right? Conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to be transformed, not conformed. Transformed by the renewing. How do I renew my mind? Right here. This is how I renew my mind. This is how I think like God. The world is going to tell you the opposite of what God tells you. They're going to tell you the opposite. God's going to say, be transformed by this, by the renewing of your mind. You're to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? Good, acceptable, and perfect. What does that perfect mean? Complete, whole, entire, wanting nothing. That's right. Will of God. That means I wholly follow. Can you say that? Ask yourself, can I say that? That I wholly follow the Lord my God. You ought to be able to get alone with God and repent of what you haven't done and say, Lord, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord my God. That is my desire. Is that your heart's desire? Question to ask yourself, is that my heart's desire to wholly follow the Lord my God? Because it will be challenged. It'll be challenged every day of your life. But that's how Caleb got the victory over a mountain of giants. That's how he turned mountains into molehills and giants into grasshoppers. That's how. By faith, by courage, by strength. Amen? That's how. By trusting the Lord, by giving his whole heart to God and leaving nothing behind and saying, Lord, you have everything that I am. Whatever you want me to be, that's what I'll do. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Sobering thought, isn't it? That ye are not your own, but you're bought and paid for with a price. Therefore, glorify your God, glorify God with your body, in your body. Because you're paid for. You've been redeemed. You've been bought out of the market. You've been bought out of the market. Redeemed, paid for. Now you and I ought to live like it. Amen? And we ought to have the victory that God wants to give us. The victory is there waiting for us. Amen? We've got to take it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Lord, help us to fight the good fight of faith. Help us to have that spirit like Caleb's. Help us to war for you, Lord, in our own personal flaws and character flaws and challenges and things that we need to work on in our own life. Lord, help us, Father. Strengthen us, Father. Be with us, Lord. Guide us and direct us. Keep us in your will, Lord. Help us to be obedient to you in all things. Dear God, give us a heart of surrender. Help us to surrender to you, Lord. Please, dear God, help us to surrender our hearts every day, Lord. Every day we need surrender. Every day we are challenged to surrender to the Lord, if we will or we won't. Oh God, help us to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you for this life that you've given us, Lord. Help us to valiantly fight onward for you. Help us to remember, Lord, our inheritance is in sight. We can see the celestial city by the eyes of faith. And one day,
will be home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.